it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everybody. So there's some drama brewing in my hometown. And like I always say, I don't like being a part of the drama, but I love hearing about the drama. And this specific drama deals with one of the longtime reporters, sports reporters, for the Indianapolis Star. You probably all remember him because he had the super awkward encounter with Caitlin Clark during her introductory press conference when she joined the Indianapolis Fever. Let's just take a look back, and I'll tell you what's happening right now as a result of it.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
This is it. This is the move. This is what he did to her. And then he proceeded to say, after she asked if he liked that, he said, I like that you're here. And then said, if she proceeds to do this to him when she sees him, they'll get along just fine. Okay, that was totally creepy. It was so cringeworthy. Everybody was talking about it after it happened. And he went on to write an apology. He made a whole column about it. He put out a tweet even before the column came. And he said, in my uniquely oafish way, which, no, that's your uniquely creepy way. He managed to offend and he became part of the problem. Yes, definitely part of the problem. I totally believe if I was new to Indianapolis and that was how I was greeted by someone that I knew would be around on a very frequent basis, I would be like, okay, what are we doing here? Anyways, that's exactly how it's played out. The creepiness, cringeworthiness got the best of Greg Doyle. And now it has just been reported that he will, A, be suspended without pay for 2 weeks. That's one thing. But the better is that he will not even be allowed to cover Indianapolis Fever games for the entire season. Caitlin Clark's entire rookie season, Greg Doyle will be nowhere to be found inside a Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And honestly, I think this was the right move. And I question who was the one to really get the wheels in motion to make this move. Was it solely just the Indianapolis Star, who was probably getting tons of reader and viewer and social media feedback? And they were like, you know what, we need to still make some moves here because people clearly are not happy. Was it the Indianapolis Fever who were like, you need to handle this? Was it actually Caitlin Clark? Because like I said, when you're a sideline reporter or you're an opinionist or you're a columnist and you're covering a certain beat, which would be the Indianapolis Fever, we know that's probably the biggest sports story in Indianapolis. Definitely all summer long. We'll see if it lasts for the entire season. Greg Doyle would be around a lot. And not just, you know, sitting on, you know, in the reporter media section at games. Realistically, he'd probably be allowed in the locker room, too, before, you know, practices, before games, depending when their media availability is. And that would be so awkward. Imagine, like, you just got out of the shower and you're about to do an interview and you have, like, some creepy guy, like, giving you the heart symbol over in the corner. This was totally the right move. I'm not smiling, but I'm smiling because I've also known Greg Doyle for quite some time, and he's a little strange. I don't have the biggest opinion on him, though. I didn't interact with him so much, but I'm actually super excited at this point to bring in, well, he's my guest every single Wednesday, thank goodness. I don't know how, quite frankly, I would make it through the week without him, but he has a lot to say. He has a very big opinion on Greg Doyle, so let's go ahead and bring in the host of Don't At Me, Dan Dockich. Okay, Dan. So first of all, let me just say this was not the initial lead for the show today. We had something else. But then when I remembered you were coming on the show, I was like, oh, wait a second. We have to lead with the latest on Greg Doyle, because I just know you will have the best reaction for me. So what did you think when you saw that Greg Doyle, after being super cringeworthy, which everybody could agree with that on, everybody was talking about it. Not only is he suspended for 2 weeks without pay, but even bigger of a deal is the fact that he will not even be allowed to cover in person the Indianapolis Fever this season. Only he will be able to write columns from afar.
Hey, Charlie, by the way, I feel the same way about you on Wednesdays as well, and I thank you for having me on. It's like a restraining order against a writer. Like, think about it. It's a restraint. You can't cover us in person. You have to stay home. What is that, 500 feet away? What if he comes to the gym before the game, talks to Caitlin Clark or whomever, and then leaves? I'm interested going forward. This news was broke by Bob Kravitz, who was a longtime writer, actually had Doyle's job before Doyle. And Doyle kind of put a tweet out yesterday saying that he was boxing or doing something stupid, cringy Doyle was. But I'm anxious to see how the Star spins this, because in Kravitz's column about this, they said that the Star wanted this hushed up. They did not want this out there. They were trying to keep it quiet. Well, now it's out there. How are they going to spin it? Because that's what this is. This is a restraining order against a writer from attending a women's basketball game, a male writer. Now, here's the interesting thing, Charlie. Caitlin Clark has done nothing to squelch this. It fascinates me. Like, she knew or knows who Doyle is. Doyle thinks he's the official guy that you've got to impress here to be an athlete in Indy. That's his thought. But she didn't squelch it. She didn't say, well, it wasn't that bad. Well, it didn't bother me. She didn't do any of that. She said nothing about it. The Fever, nothing about it. I heard you earlier. I don't know. Did the WNBA do something? Did the Star? I can't imagine the Star did, because Doyle has told me privately that he's the only reason. This is a quote. He's the only reason anybody reads the Star, and he can do whatever he wants. So I'll tell you this. I'm fascinated to see how they spin this. But this is a restraining order, a male being restrained by his own whomever from going to a game to watch women play basketball. I've never heard of this before. He's not allowed. What? What's he allowed? In the gym before, after? Can he not within 500 feet? He's got to stay across the street? You know, like some crazed angry husband? I mean, what is it here? It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I wonder, because I feel like this would be a very Greg Doyle-ish thing to do, is he can't go to the games. He can't. I mean, if he went to these lengths, he probably would still get into trouble. But I could totally see him finding out her favorite spots to eat and just, like, casually also being there, like, behind her in line at Chipotle to order. And like, oh, Caitlin. Oh, my gosh, so good to see you. Hey, by the way, I'm sorry for that one weird interaction. How are you doing, though? How's the season going?
Hey, you know Greg Doyle better than you think you know Greg Doyle. I've known Doyle for a long time. We had a falling out because I criticized him and his newspaper continually on my radio show. He made it personal, which is cool. But the truth of the matter is, you know Doyle personally, then, if that's what you're surmising, because nothing would surprise. Now, look, is it a big deal? That's the question. Is it a big deal? The answer is yes. It's a big deal for that newspaper. It is, because Caitlin Clark is the biggest deal in basketball right now. She's in Indianapolis. The Fever are going to sell out games. We don't have Major League Baseball. We got two things this summer. We got Paul Skeens and his girlfriend, Olivia Dunn, playing with the Indianapolis Indians, which has all the young boys all a Twitter. And we have the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, which apparently has all the old men reporters all creepy. So it's a big deal where your number one guy can't be in the building to report on a game that's going to be covered by literally everybody in the country. That's what, 36 of the 40 Fever games have been moved to national TV. 36 out of 40, Sir Charles.
Wow.
That's like, what? I mean, that's how popular this woman is, and that's how popular this team is.
So then who do you think steps up in Indianapolis? Will there be like someone who's covering it locally in depth then at this point? Because Greg Doyle would have been that guy. I know who's going to step up? Well, Bob Kravitz, he'll be available, I'm sure. But I don't know. I haven't followed Bob for quite a while, so I don't know like what he's into these days.
I didn't know if Bob was dead. I thought he was dead, tell you the truth. I didn't know. And all of a sudden, he writes this article, and I'm like, hey, Kravitz is alive. I'm glad. I'm happy to hear it. They have a reporter. They hired a reporter to cover the Fever. But the thing is, and this is true, when you look across the Indianapolis Star and you go to whatever it is, it says, you know, it doesn't say sports on it. One of them does, but there are other area where it's like, who are you going to read? It says news, city, Greg Doyle, business. So he's that big for that newspaper. And it's just, it's not even a matter of who's going to cover it though, Charlie. It's just a matter that a guy who is in, and like, look, if you're at a party or you're at a downtown celebration and you're having a good time and you do something stupid, who cares? But if you're at your job and you're so ridiculous, creepy at your job that your own paper has to put a restraining on you, or order on you, that's a level, again, I've just never seen it.
Yeah. I also have not, and I can only imagine the embarrassment that Greg Doyle is feeling, because I don't think we've heard from him at all since this news came out. I mean, I wonder what the first piece of information was, or first sentiment that he puts out is going to be following this.
Charlie, he put out a tweet yesterday showing him getting knocked into the ropes boxing, and he tried to make it cute, like, you know, I haven't paid attention, now I have. But this has been going on. This is in the middle. He'll be back Monday, according to Bob Kravitz. People were starting to wonder, look, the Pacers are playing the Knicks. Caitlin Clark had her first exhibition game in Dallas through a sold-out crowd, and no one's heard from Doyle, not even on Twitter, nothing, zero, 6 days worth. So apparently Kravitz, who has contacts at the Star, went, researched, looked, called, and found this out. So the idea and the Star, again, it's been going on for 6-7 days. So they were trying to kind of slip this through. But, you know,
under the radar,
if you didn't tweet for a few days, yeah, people would notice. If I didn't tweet for a few days, people, at least in Indy, might notice. So, you know, it's in the middle of 2 weeks. He put out some little thing on Twitter, kind of making light of it, kind of acting like he's not paying attention. He has a text group that he charges, I don't know, the Star charges like a buck a month to be involved. And he said that he was leaving to go be with family, and it was tough, you know, tough time to be leaving with the Pacers in the playoffs and the Fever. But, you know, plans were already made. Nobody believes that. Because Doyle is unbelievable. You can't believe a word he says. You never have.
Well, interesting. I will be interested to finally hear from him when that does happen, whether he's like, oh, you know, I got what I deserve. See you next season. I don't know.
No.
We'll see what this does. Know what?
I would bet the Star changes course. I bet the Star changes course, says that Kravitz's report is nonsense, and somehow, some way, they smooth this over. I'll bet you any money. This is like Biden. You know, whatever we got to do to get this to make us look good, we're going to do. I would almost bet money the Star, somebody reverses course, if they can. Now, again, maybe this is the Fever saying we're not allowing him in and we'll make a bigger deal about it. We'll get a restraining order if you fight us. I don't know. I don't know all the particulars of it. But I can see the Star, because they got rotten people working at the Indy Star right now. And that's just not me talking. That's people that know and are there or have been there recently. So they'll figure something out, because it's a dirty business. It's dirty work. And you know, Doyle probably become more popular in his own mind.
Interesting. Well, we know that Caitlin Clark has a lot of pull, so maybe eventually we'll find out who gave this directive, whether Caitlin Clark actually stepped up and said something, because she obviously has, you know, what she needs and wants is of the utmost importance right now to the Fever, also the WNBA at large. Also, because Caitlin Clark had an awkward interaction with a fan the other day in an airport, despite having her own personal security guard when she travels, because we all know the WNBA travels at this point commercially, Dan. There is now a report that the WNBA is in discussions to begin traveling privately, charter travel, for all 12 of its teams as soon as this regular season. And they report that the reason being is because of the explosion of interest in the league, the business growth, anticipated future revenue from the next media deal, et cetera. Obviously, what all that all boils down to is because of Caitlin Clark. Gan, I'm am happy to hear that the WNBA could eventually get private flights. I don't know how the money is going to work out in that department. We'll see if the WNBA keeps as much interest as they have right now, being that Caitlin Clark just entered the league. But I'm just, you know, just in general, it's nice to hear that they're getting a little bit more of the, I guess, celeb treatment, even though, you know, again, money is going to ultimately dictate that. But I know if I was a professional athlete and I had to fly commercial along with everybody else, I wouldn't be so happy.
No, I'll be honest with you. When I was at ESPN, my agent was smart enough to put in first class travel, and I got, you know, you get used to it. Look, when you've seen Paris, baby, you don't want to go back in the back of the plane, and you don't want to, once you've flown private, you don't want to sit with the proletariat. You want to sit with the bourgeoisie. You want to be in the private plane. Of course, I hope so too. And, you know, we all know that there are some creepy dudes out there. There are creepy women out there too, and people somehow, some way, in airports get a little crazy. They just do. I've never understood it. Like, I've had people kind of be really weird to me in airports, and I'm not even a celebrity. I'm just a slap that's on the radio once in a while. So I can only imagine what it's like for them. But, no, you want to see the league grow. You want to see things get better for players. You want to see more money being made. I mean, let's be honest. As I said earlier, I get it. Towns with baseball. Chicago's got two baseball teams. You know, okay, it's different. But for the fans in a town like Indianapolis, what, are you kidding me? We want the thing to grow. We want it to be big. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of women's sports for a lot of reasons, one of which is my wife and my stepdaughter. And I want it to grow. I don't want it to go back. But it is going to be a money issue. Private planes cost a ton of money. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see what happens. But I can only imagine. Well, first of all, I can only imagine being, I mean, it's tough to say if we can actually call all of the WNBA athlete celebrities, because most of them, I think, except for their height and their build, you probably could walk past on the street and not know who they are at all. But also, just because of their sheer size, sitting economy for, you know, long extended flights would be very uncomfortable, I can imagine, because even as a 5'2", 110-pound woman, I find flying economy to be ultra uncomfortable, and I don't enjoy it. So I can only imagine, if I don't enjoy it, what it's like for women who are much larger and taller than I am. For example, Dan, Brittany Griner. She's a tall woman. I think she's, what, like 6'7"? I mean, she's huge. So I can only imagine what it feels like for her to fly in economy. But she's in the news right now, Dan, not because of the charter travel or the potential of it, but because she's in the midst right now of promoting her new book. It's called Coming Home. And she used the opportunity to really let people understand what her sentiments are right now regarding the country. Because right now there is somewhat of an anti-American sentiment. When you bring up her name, that's kind of what comes to mind. Because back in 2020, remember, she was very anti the national anthem. She made it clear she didn't want to be present on the floor during the national anthem, and that she didn't think that it really represented all Americans. So people were like, okay, definitely not the biggest fan of this country. But then once you go and you're held hostage in a Russian prison, all of a sudden you come back and you're all about America the beautiful and representing your country and being the ultimate patriot. And Brittany Griner is now setting the record straight. She's telling people that she really, it's confusing to her that people would label her as anti-American in the first place, because her father, this is news to me, Dan, was a legit Marine, Vietnam 68 to 69. He fought for our country, then went into law enforcement for 30 plus years. And then she went on to say that actually if she wasn't in the WNBA, if she wasn't a professional basketball player, she believes that she actually would have gone into the field of law enforcement. So all of this is very much news to me, Dan. But when you think of Brittany Griner and all that she's been through and what she portrayed herself as before being thrown into jail in Russia and then post, I mean, how do you really make sense of all of this? Do you still consider her to be anti-American? Or do you think that sometimes people have experiences that can change the way they believe and feel, and that's totally fair?
Well, I think that the initial reaction is, yeah, she's anti-American. I never thought one way or the other about Brittany Griner. I did think back when she was in jail. I remember it hit me one day, man, she's still in jail over that? Good for her for getting that out there. I personally, if I were her PR team, and I don't know if she has a PR team, I'd have gotten that out there a lot earlier, because I think once the initial Kaepernick and kneeling and all this stuff happened, I think most people felt like if you did kneel, you were anti-American. You know, I have an affinity. I don't necessarily buy anybody that says if I wasn't a basketball player, I would go into law enforcement. I don't buy all that. I mean, that's an easy thing to say. If you know, if I had hair, I'd be a movie star. I mean, you can say anything you want. But I wish she would have given people a little bit of insight into her background to help her. You know, now, these wounds or whatever people think of her, they're self-inflicted, obviously. She's the one that decided to kneel. She's the one that decided to forget that she had weed in her backpack. So these are self-inflicted, and it's hard to be a victim when you self-inflict things on yourself. But I do wish she would have said that. I do, because, I get it. You have a different sense. Maybe her dad was treated really poorly when he came back, like a lot of Vietnam veterans were. Maybe he was disrespected at the airport, like a lot of Vietnam veterans do. And I think sometimes, probably a lesson for all of us, you know, we do jump to conclusions. One thing I learned in 10 years of, well, that's not true. One thing I learned in coaching college-age kids for 20-some years and then getting to know them as a broadcaster for another 10 is there's always a backstory. You know, and, you know, it's always curious. It's always interesting to see that or hear that backstory, find out that backstory. And, again, I think it would have been great for Brittany Griner if she would have let people know that. And, you know, like I said, I never considered her anti-American. I've never paid that much attention other than when she went to jail. Because I knew at the time a lot of athletes were trying to do, and maybe they were trying to do the right thing, but I always felt like most athletes saw that Kaepernick became kind of this messiah-type character, and they wanted to reach that status, and whatever they could do to get to that status was good. That's how I looked at it, and I'm sure I'm wrong. But anyway, I never really thought she was anti-American, but I wish she had. I wish it had been good for her, let's put it that way, to let that stuff out prior.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, though, I'm sure, huge wake-up call for her, right? You think that the anthem doesn't represent every American. You have a little bit of those, and we won't call them anti-American sentiments, but maybe you just don't fully trust in the system, which, well, right now I don't fully trust in the system. We'll just put it that way. But I just think, you know, in terms of what our country represents, the freedoms that you have, understanding how great it actually is to be an American, at its core, at its foundation, Brittany Griner maybe wasn't so understanding of, maybe because of some of the reasons you mentioned, but definitely I can only imagine sitting in that cold Russian jail, which, by the way, Brittany Griner also said she contemplated committing suicide multiple times when she was in Russia, locked up. You can imagine probably how horrible the conditions were, how horribly she was treated, never knowing if she was going to be able to come home at all. And then to have the opportunity to come back and now live as a free woman and live out her professional dreams and be able to make money and all of these things, you can only imagine that now she's probably more than ever understanding how amazing it is to be an American. So I am happy she put out these sentiments. But like you said, it would have been nice if it was earlier, just to not feel like it was something that she's only saying now on the back end. But still, very cool history on her end. I had no idea her father was a veteran, also was in law enforcement. And it's pretty cool to hear that she actually had an interest to go into the military and then into law enforcement if her career didn't go in the direction of playing a professional sport. So anyways, there's that. Talking about misrepresenting yourself, well, the Democrats, I think they are showing us exactly who they are, and we should believe them. I don't think there's any misrepresenting happening on their end. But Dan, Kathy Hochul, she is just such a bozo. She's so out of touch with her constituents. She has no idea what she's talking about. So when she made this comment, which I'm going to play for you in just a second, I think everybody was like, lady, you need to get a grip. Listen to this.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
Okay, so did we hear the comment that she talked about the computer? Okay, she did.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Dan, Kathy Hochul here saying that she didn't believe that children in the Bronx knew what computers were. Like, are you stupid? Everybody has a smartphone. Even the kids in the Bronx. They also have smartphones. They know what technology is. They're living in the same day and age that the rest of us are. It was just such an ignorant comment. And I love that now she's being put on blast because of social media and computers. And now everybody, not just people in New York City who were watching this firsthand, which probably not so many people were watching C-SPAN or whatever, you know, public network that was, are now able to hear her comments and realize that she was someone that shouldn't have been put in this position as governor of the state in the first place.
You know, it you said it earlier, Charlie, like, let them tell you who they are. You know, Democrats, they don't believe that people can get their fat ass off a couch and go get a voter ID. They don't believe black kids have, know what computers are. I mean, and then this is the panic. Well, these kids don't know what computers are, but we need their voices to solve problems. Like, what? I mean, what are you even saying? I get what you're trying to do. I get that you're trying to show the victimhood of young African Americans in the Bronx, but how much they're needed. They're needed by the Democratic Party. My God, I mean, why do that? Why not just say, hey, look, we need everybody's voice. We need everybody's voice, whether it's somebody living in a big house, somebody living in the Bronx, somebody living in Indianapolis. But they got to make all these dramatic deals. They don't even know what a computer is, showing the victim. Well, let me tell you something. They live in a city that's been Democratic run. So if they don't know what a computer is, then that's the jackasses that are running that city, not putting kids in a position to know what a computer is, you idiot. So look, it's just incredibly pandering. It's just incredibly stupid. It makes me lift the cheek to her, and she's giving me gas. I'm pissed off about it because the pandering has got to stop. I mean, I lift the cheek. It's just the pandering. Like, you're a victim. Oh, my God, poor you. Well, God dang, the city's been run by freaking Democrats forever. And still, young African-American kids, according to you, don't know what a computer is by your kind of run city. It's just so pandering. It's so stupid. Honest to God, now that I'm no longer coaching and kind of in the world, it's no wonder I'm a bazillionaire, and it's no wonder why I'm the most, you know, versatile host in America, because people out there are stupid. They're just stupid, including the governor of frickin' New York. Bah!
You just led me to our final topic. You called yourself a bazillionaire. Dan, I don't know if that was embellishing a little bit on your bank account's worth, but I want to touch on this topic because recently, Whoopi Goldberg, she has an inheritance that she will be leaving, or it'll be an inheritance for her daughter, $60 million worth. And she's proud to say that she's going to leave every single penny of that to her daughter. Meanwhile, you have some other people who have already said, I think Jeff Goldblum was one of them. He had said that he's not going to leave any of his worth, of what he's made in his career, to his two children. I think right now they're like 7 and 9 years old, because he wants them to have to work for more in the world and not just have anything handed to them. Where do you stand on this argument? Do you believe that if a parent is successful, then yeah, of course they should leave that to their children so that they can have a nice life. And it's, you know, they can enjoy their life a little bit more and not have to just stress out about doing all the things that they're not interested in doing for the sake of, you know, making money, especially, you know, times are tough right now. Or do you believe that no, all of the money should go elsewhere and the kids should just solely have to work for everything that they come to achieve in life?
You know, first, I believe that do whatever you want with your money. If Whoopi Goldberg wants to give her money, great. Jeff Goldblum doesn't want to. That's great, too. It's funny you ask. First off, I am not a bazillionaire. I wanted to go Clay Travis right there, and I thought I was pretty effective at it. I am not a bazillionaire, yeah. And nor am I handsome. I simply did this, though, the other day, Charles. I told my wife, I'm calling my financial guy to see if I can start spending my money. Because I'm sitting here going, wait a second. Hey, my kids got good job. I did. I'm like, I told my wife, I go, it's time to start spending. Let's go. Now, that's not to say that I'm not going to leave them something. We've set up things for them a long time ago. But, hey, whatever side you want to do, I'm cool with it. Like, I don't anticipate getting anything from my mom. My father passed away, and I don't really anticipate. I mean, I've worked, no big deal. And if I can help my kids, I'm gonna. But I'm also gonna spend this crap. That's right. I spent 16 years with Bob Knight. I got dog years on this face. It's time to go, you know, drink Mai Tais. It's time to, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I don't even know what I'm talking about relative to spending money because, as you can tell, everything I wear, everything I own is given to me, including this Outkick shirt. And I never wear pants, so what the hell? But anyway... I'm whatever you want to do, man. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm spending.
You know what? I hope that you enjoy every last second of your life. I hope that your kids, they get a little something from dad because that would be nice. I tend to believe that if you can set your kids up just at least with the essentials, you know, like pay for their college tuition, for example, if that's able to be.
Let me ask you something.
And I know not everyone.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Let me ask you. Like, do you spend money?
I do. I do spend money.
Do you?
Sometimes too much, yes.
I don't. I got the Flying Knicks. Nick and Nick, my producers, they're like out at Madison Square Garden for the Knicks game. And I'm like, how much you guys spend last night? $250.
The Knicks are at the Knicks game.
Like, I got to tell you. The Flying Knicks are at the Flying Knicks game. Yeah. I'm like, I can't remember the last time. I don't spend nothing. I need to get out there. That's it. I'm going
to
get out there.
You do need to get out there. You do need to get out there. And I hope it starts. I hope it starts this weekend, Dan. I want that for you.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you very much.
You're
I do,
welcome.
Too. I hope it starts today, matter of fact. I'm just going to drive around and buy stuff.
You know what?
That's it.
There you go. Why wait till Friday? Start on a Wednesday. That sounds great. I want to hear next week what you bought. I want you to buy something. I don't care what it is, but next week I'm going to ask you, what did you buy? And I want a full report. All right. Well, on that
I
note.
I think that's fair.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. Dan, you've got, before you get to planning what you're going to buy, you've got a show to do, 9 a.m. on Outkick.com. Another episode of Don't At Me, going to be fantastic as always. So, Dan, just, you know, put the spending ideas to the back of the brain. Go do your show and then come back to it.
I love it. My Wednesdays with Charlie. It's kind of like Tuesdays with Maury. Thank you, Charlie. Have a great day.
There you go.
See ya.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back, and their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless, from researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience. Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
Hey, everybody, that is all we have got for today. Thank you so much for being here. Follow me on social media at Charlie on TV. Go enjoy your Wednesday. Maybe you'll go buy something for yourself. Maybe you won't. We'll see. But in either case, I'll see you tomorrow.